And welcome again, ladies and gentlemen, to this month's webinar entitled Fear versus Love, Living with the Polarities of Life. And folks, love and fear live together, as do life and death. And this month, our webcast is an intimate conversation on love versus fear with Dr. Gene Watson, Dr. Susan Mazur, and Robert Browning. And today they're going to discuss how human caring, heart-centered practices, and healing environments can help us thrive with the polarities of our lives. They'll also share experiences, practices, and insights about using the power of love, ranging from the personal to the patient. Now, Dr. Susan Mazur, along with her husband, Dallas Smith, founded Healing Healthcare Systems. And Healing Healthcare Systems produces the CARE channel, the C-A-R-E channel, relaxation programming for patient television. In addition, Dr. Mazur is also an expert in the field of privacy and HIPAA, and she's a well-published author, having written articles and white papers for major healthcare journals and periodicals, and she's also been featured on Good Morning America. Robert Browning is a master trainer and director for HeartMath Healthcare, and for over 20 years with HeartMath, he's trained over 8,000 individuals in heart-based living and leads programs at Stanford, UCLA, Cedars-Sinai, Children's Colorado, and Kaiser Permanente. And together, along with Gene and Susan, they focus on advancing the next evolution of human caring and wholeness healing. And his passion and focused inquiry on the power of the heart, love, and healing has informed the depth of his work, practice, and message. And Dr. Gene Watson is a distinguished professor and dean emerita, University of Colorado, Denver, College of Nursing. As a matter of fact, she's the nation's only chair in caring science and has been for 16 years there at the University of Colorado. Also in 2013, Dr. Watson was honored as a living legend by the American Academy of Nursing, its highest award for nursing. And of course, she is the founder and director of the nonprofit foundation, Watson Caring Science Institute, who's sponsoring today's event. So welcome, Gene, Robert, and Susan. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Dave, and hello to everyone out there, and my special love to Susan and Robert for joining me for this, and wishing everybody the happiest of this time of year. And it is a time that we get caught up in terms of the fear versus love dynamic, and I'm going to start with a poem by Jan Reich, who's a nurse poet, and she captures the whole phenomenon of fear and also some resolution for it in her brief poem, and it's called Fear. I quote, "It tightens up my chest and puts my mind on spin, and when I try to argue, I simply cannot win. So I have learned to just surrender, to give it a brief say, then bid adieu by breath or two, and get on with my day." And I have this wonderful quote from Georgie O'Keeffe, courtesy of MJ McGraw. And she says, Georgie O'Keeffe says, "I've been absolutely terrified every moment of my life. I have never let it keep me from doing a single thing I wanted to do." So here we are holding love and fear in a dynamic for our life. And the question might be, can we hold those simultaneously? And how do we shift if we are in fear? And waking up to this, I'm going to just share a little bit of my personal story, because this is meant to be a little bit of a more intimate conversation. And some of you who know my work, no, I started out with the 10 carative factors, naming the phenomenon of human caring. And the first carative factor in the original work was just acknowledging the humanistic altruistic values that bring us into this profession and into this life work. And then I had my own journey of my own drama, where, as many of you know, the story of how I lost my eye and had to be quiet for almost 3 months on a massage table, where I became quite contemplative, as I had to be, in that I only had 15 minutes to have breaks. So during that time, I had this amazing experience where it was totally transcendent. And I actually felt I had become love. And it was such an awakening, because it was a realization that underneath all the fear and all the concerns and all the terror that we carry in our life, daily work and life, underneath it all, we are all love. And so to have had that experience was totally life-changing for me. And I can never quite forget it, because it is such a truth of not our existence. And that's what I think we're all kind of coming to, because when we're in fear and afraid, we're planning all the time how to not suffer. But in some ways, once we have that total surrender that's mentioned in the poem, and also when we're having to succumb to total surrender, because that's where I ended up, it really was life-changing in the sense that it led to my evolution of my work, because when I was in that space and was recovering, and after I'd had that experience of actually experiencing myself as love, not being in love, not being love, but becoming a constellation of love, was a beautiful moment. And I remember sitting down one day and taking each one of the carotid factors, and particularly the first one, and transposing each one into the language from my heart about the love. And so the solution from the carotid to the keratos was to sustain these values, is really to practice loving kindness and equanimity with ourselves and others, and to continue to work to realize that ultimately we are love. So that was part of my journey, and brings us to this place where, you know, at some level, we actually all know that we are love. It all, and this is Hafez, who's the Iranian poet, a very Middle Eastern ancient wisdom person. He says, "All I know is love, and I find my heart infinite and everywhere." And many of you know that I use the work of Immanuel Levinas and his view that we all belong to the infinite field of universal love from which we all come from and we all return to. And he posits the ethic of love, the universal love of belonging, as the first principle of science. So that takes us into this field of caring science, and an opportunity to have conversation between Robert and Susan and I about, you know, this whole dynamic of fear versus love, and how do we integrate it into our life and avoid or really transform it so that we can dissolve some of the pain and suffering rather than be afraid of it and avoid it and running away from ourselves. So I'm going to pause at this moment and just go back to the integration of this work with a return to love that brings us to the connection between the heart and the brain, and the work that I'm doing with Robert and HeartMath, reminding us that really the source of our love is in our heart. And this keratos heart awakening really allows us to remind ourselves that the heart sends messages to the brain, not messages to the brain, and the brain sends to the heart. So I'm going to pause and to kind of moment by moment breathe into my heart with this love, this universal love that connects us even across the airwaves right now. So, Susan, if you want to take this personal to the patient perspective.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it. And, Jean, I want to share with you that my experience as a patient, which we're going to go right now in this next slide, I was in intensive care. I had E. coli septicemia. I was pulled off a plane. It was very high drama. And And when we are that ill, where our whole life comes to a halt, it does cause us to really go to the basic need we have of connectedness to others who can give us that strength to move through that pain and illness to another place. And the reason that I am posting this slide is that in this picture, of course, this is an acutely ill man in the intensive care unit, intubated, whose only contact with his surrounding is through his sensory system, through the five senses, but also through his consciousness. And when we look at this picture, what we find is that something woke him up, that his eyes are slightly open. And the question is, and if you could move to the next slide, what do we wake up to in the morning? What is around us? What is the real estate we take up in this universe that when we wake up gives us cues as to our connectedness to self and others, and also to what we call love, which is that deepest unconditional connection we have, where we surrender and we're not about control and we're not about these nitty-gritty details that are such a distraction on an everyday basis. And when we first talked about doing this webcast and we talked about fear and love and the polarities we live, fear is a real safety issue for us, that if we don't feel any fear, we tend to not sense danger, we tend to not alter our behavior to protect ourselves. And on the other hand, it needs to be in balance with protection and connection. That balance is so critical to our being whole and being and really thriving, moving from just survival on a daily basis to really thriving within our own existential consciousness. And I think that when we really look at that and we look at the work we do with patients and the work that we do certainly in producing the Care Channel, which is a brings nature and music to the bedside, all of that cuts through the technology that has no consciousness except its functionality, but is given consciousness because we give it so much power. And that power has to be returned to the being of who we are. I think that it is a continual battle. I really understand that quote saying, I live in fear every day. I think as adults, we really habituate to our own fears. And it's in a way, it's kind of like riding a bicycle that it becomes so natural to us that the fact that our bodies are using every single muscle to keep us in balance so that we don't fall, we don't even think about it anymore. And I think that right now, for consciousness to move into fear, something has to happen, or a thought process has to happen in order to put us into alarm. So if we look at the next slide, this is really about being in alignment and merging with the natural order of the universe. And we can't do that without external stimulation. We cannot do that without cues around us, whether it's a home environment or a hospital environment, that we really need to take, be proactive in surrounding ourselves with again, that evidence of what is loving in our lives, what brings us joy, what brings us hope. The hospital setting tends to be so functional that it can feel very hopeless. However, we can bring in even a single cue, such as a picture of nature or music that we love, that transforms it so that we can, again, have a tether to who we are and what matters to us. So what are your thoughts about that, Robert and Jean?
I think it's very important what you're saying. I really do. I think that notion of being connected to that deeper side of ourself, that connected to the love and the compassion and how we're showing up for each other is extremely important. And this whole discussion around fear and love, it's, you know, when the experience of the qualities of fear start to run us versus us letting it inform us, I believe causes a break in the separation where we no longer can feel actively connected to how we can help one each other, how we can help each other heal, how we can help heal ourselves in that connection between us and our larger self. The fear, it's a compelling thing, because we even in an odd way we title a webinar like this Fear versus Love, and part of that is because that's how often many of us think of it, and it makes sense. But just listening to you and listening to Jean, and also to some recent discussions we've had recently, I feel like fear is there to inform us of how to love deeper. That deep down under the fear, whatever we're fearing, either it's our well-being, or fearing if we're going to die, or fearing that our loved one will be hurt, or whatever the fear is, deep down there's inside of it, just like the yin and the yang, there's love underneath it all, as Jean was saying.
I'm listening to you, Robert, and I'm thinking that when we talk about it, when we use the word love, and we use the word fear, something, we have some kind of concept of what that is. When we're feeling it, what really transforms it into being in alignment with who we are is evidence around us of what is really true for us. So that's why the healing environment and an intentionally designed space, even if there's only one piece of evidence that we are cared about, that we are a whole person, it transforms the entire space. It's a very holonomic impact. And I think that the other part of that, and I really like what you said in terms of fear informs us, that if you look at the kind of media dramas that are now being produced by Hollywood and on television, there's something we crave about that adrenaline of being afraid and being tense to push us to the side of resolution. It's a continual pull between tension and resolution, tension and resolution. And without that tension, we tend to become complacent in a very strange way. We may not even realize that. But that balance between fear and love, fear and resolution, being alive, being aware, being conscious, I think is real critical to our being very vital on a daily basis.
Well, if we don't allow the fear to inform us, we really are running away from ourselves. And that's what I like about what you said, Robert, about letting it again inform us. Because from my own experience, we can't go around it. You know, because if we go around it, we're just running away from ourselves. And so when we are able to deepen and really own it and let it, oh, yeah, there it is, it really connects us with that deeper level of our connectedness that Susan's mentioning. I think it gives us more depth of our own humanity and gives us more compassion with other people's terror and fear, so that we can actually be in a whole different way of honoring and not running away, because we're all wanting to run away from consequences of fear. Nobody wants to be hurting, because hurting is not what we want. So I think part of this is how do we honor the fear, if you will, and at the same time know that underneath the fear is really this purification of love that really protects us.
Absolutely. I mean, I think a wise question for all of us, everyone listening to this and through the holidays and through the new year, is any time even any aspect of fear arises, is to pause, just like how you encourage us so much, Jean, to pause and be still and to listen to our deeper feelings of what is it that I actually love about this? Meaning, for example, if I'm fearing I'll be alone during the holidays, and it's a fear that comes up for me at times, it's like a fear of loneliness or separation. Well, deep down, what is my true care there? What is it that I love that I fear that I will be missing? And what I love is connection. I love being around friends or family, or at least even if I'm alone, feeling the connection of a larger family in the heart. And placing my attention on that which I love will draw the feelings associated with it, will draw the energetic truth of that to my experience. But if I allow myself to dwell and to over-identify with the fear, like I'm fearing about being alone and I fear about that. It's basic physics. It's adding fuel to that chasm. And so part of the intelligence of the heart and the wisdom of the heart, and Jean was saying, you know, it's a connection. I always relate to it as a connection to our own larger self, our whatever word you use to call that, whether it's your larger self, soul, source itself. It's kind of like your inner connection and the intelligence, the wisdom of that, the wisdom of all that you are. When you're still and you go to pause and you breathe through the area of the heart, and then you activate any reference point, like Susan was saying, any small reference point, if it's in the physical environment or in the feeling environment, that reminds us of that love or that calm or that peace or that care, and we breathe that through the area around the heart, it starts to bring our physiology and it starts to bring us into alignment. So the whispers of the heart, the wisdom, that our next steps for evolution, our what the aspect of the fear that's wanting to inform us for our next steps. Well, what part of this fear do I want to let go? I don't want to be burdened by this anymore. I want to shed that so I can have more love in my life, so I can be more free and be more alive. So fear in that way, like what you're saying, Jean, is fuel. It's fuel for more love. It's like the coals that become the diamond. It's what you throw into the fire for more fire to happen. And so welcome the fear, because the fear will show us what we're still scared of, because, you know, if we're not paying attention to it, it still submerges. It's still part of us. It's
right.
Ourselves.
The other thing that I ponder here is, you know, understanding, okay, we have fear, then what is the opposite of fear for us? And then if the opposite is what we want, we don't want fear, then how do we go there? You know, that's what I think we're inviting all of us to consider. Like, and how much time do we even take to give to the life that we want that's the opposite of fear? And what is that path of love? You know, we've already mentioned the silence, the pause, the stillness, the surrender, the connection, the openness, the trust, the heart. I just think, you know, it's kind of a moment that we can actually realize that the negative feeling can actually be powerful to energize us to what is it we truly want here and how do we get there. And I think that is part of the intelligence of the heart and the healing environment that integrates all of these aspects of our being.
Yeah, I'm thinking for a moment about the temporal aspect of that love lives in the present. It can live in memory, but we feel it. It's not felt. It's felt in the now moment. Even if we're thinking about someone who's not with us, the feeling of love, giving love, being love, of loving, is very present for us. But fear has its own future, a sense of foreboding, a sense of what if, a sense of...
Mm-hmm.
Resentment, a sense of regret, a sense of longing. I mean, it doesn't live in the present. So one antidote to, especially now around the holidays, when the holidays are really pretty bittersweet for most of us who've lived past the age of 21, that it brings up childhood memories, it brings up a longing for what was, or maybe a wish we could rewrite the script. I mean, it brings up, kind of conjures up all this stuff. And one way of dissipating that is to be in the loving moment right now, right this minute. And
exactly.
One of the Beatles songs said, you know, love the one you're with.
Right.
That has to include ourselves, you know. It has to include...
Yeah.
Who we are today, the gratitude that we have for being in this very present moment. And when we're in the moment, feeling that love, fear has no place.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a thought that will pass, but it will not own our psyche. Does that make sense?
You know, one of the things that I learned years ago, in 1981, I was in Australia, and I remember this woman who was, I guess, very psychically evolved, and she said to me, and now it's been verified, you know, more wisdom traditions and all sorts of some of the recent consciousness, but she said, when you are thinking about the future or you're in the past, that's when you have fear. But if you're in the now, if you're totally in the now, you're present to what is. And that's what I think you're getting at, is being present to the present now with the love that we truly already are. And that's kind of an awakening. And when we can shift that in the moment back to the heart, as Robert has so elegantly reminds us with this work, that it changes everything.
Yeah, well, and I'd like to hear more from Robert regarding the heart math process and how that has really helped so many of us really learn how to be in the moment and how to recapture that in a very quick method, so that we don't have to say, well, I'll do better tomorrow, that we have a sense that we can do better immediately.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. maybe it'd be worth just walking through everyone listening to the call for a moment. It's just, if everyone at the moment can just recall something that's not alive for you now, as what we're discussing, but like a fear projection that you're having about the holidays. You know, maybe you're nervous how a conversation is going to go with a family member, or what you're going to be cooking, or the stress of not having a present or not getting any presents from anyone. I don't know, whatever it is, if there's some fear projection that's taking your consciousness out of the now, and it's anchored into some aspect in the future or in the past that's causing a stir, that causes fear, just ponder that for a moment, because it's alive for you. Might as well just consider it now. And just be sober with it for a moment. Ask yourself, well, what is it? What is it I'm scared of? What is it I fear? The impact that's going to have in my life, or what I'm perceiving or projecting it will, or what am I longing for or fearing I won't get, whether it's a connection or a physical thing. So now we'll just drop that. Just put that on the side. Just put it on the shelf. And let's all of us just shift our attention to the area around the heart. Just focus deep in that area. And let's breathe through the area around the heart a few seconds in. A few seconds out. Breathing deeper than you're used to, but not forced. And now ask yourself, what is one thing in my life right now, in this moment now, that I can easily appreciate or feel love for or compassion? Anything will do. Some person or place or thing that's easy to appreciate or feel love for. And breathe that love through the area around the heart right now.
And if we could be aware of the moment of time to radiate this out, Robert.
Yes, and let's radiate that to each other. Let's radiate that to that which we fear. And to the world, there's a world out there with a lot of stress, a lot of fear. Let's radiate our love to them right now together. Just ask yourself, whatever it is we fear, ask our hearts to meet us there with the wisdom to know, what is it that we care about in that situation? Where we want more connection, where it seems separate, or we want more togetherness where it feels lonely, or we want whatever it is we want to feel more, the love, what do we love about that? What's our true care? And radiate that intention, how we want to be.
And I think,
yes,
we're aware of time. It's 12:31.
Yes. And just to sum that up, anytime we're collectively broadcasting that radiance of love, it is facilitating a new world. It's facilitating a new hope, a new potential for all of us to live more from love as opposed to from fear.
So loving gratitude to you, Robert, for taking us through this, and for Susan, for bringing this to another level in terms of our own patient experiences, and to all of those out there who are living in love for this season. And thank you, Dave, for coordinating. And I think our time
thank
is
you.
Up.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for the conversation. It's great.
Yeah.
We'll do it again.
Thank you, everyone, for being here. And happy holidays to everyone.
Okay. All right. So we're going to close off.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.